you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
On one planet, citizens allocate the budget directly, lobbyists don't exist, and disease was eradicated 4,000 years ago. It uses the same technology you have. The difference is they pointed it at biology instead of each other.
I'm from a planet also called Wishonia. We stopped having wars 4,297 years ago, not because we evolved morally. We bribed everyone. Our version of your 1% treaty redirected resources from killing each other to keeping each other alive. And once the incentives aligned, the killing stopped. Not immediately. Some people really liked the killing. But the money was better on the other side, and it turns out principles are flexible when the alternative pays compound interest. You have the same atoms we had. You have the same physics. You have better computers than we had at this stage. The only difference is we stopped spending resources on explosion technology around the time you were still hitting each other with rocks. You kept going. You got very good at it. Look, nobody on Wishonia is questioning the fact that you are the best rock hitters the universe has ever produced. We all know this. We're just questioning whether that's the thing you want to be known for. What the optimized world looks like. Depression gets cured, not managed with a monthly subscription to sadness pills that list suicidal thoughts as a side effect, which is like selling a fire extinguisher that's also a flamethrower. Cured, precision therapies that actually work because you tested them on thousands of willing participants instead of 12 college students who needed beer money. But cured is the floor, not the ceiling. Once you understand suffering well enough to end it, you understand it well enough to replace it with something better. Your current emotional range runs from actively terrible to briefly okay. This is not because the universe is stingy with happiness. It's because your genes built a motivational system where contentment is punished. Content animals stop foraging and get eaten. And satisfaction expires by design. The hedonic treadmill exists because evolution needs you perpetually dissatisfied, not because the universe hates you, although the evidence is mixed. On Wishonia, we call this a bug, not the human condition. We patched it. The patch? Gradients of intelligent bliss, not the dopamine fog of drugs where you feel great about nothing. Information-sensitive well-being, where your emotional range runs from deeply good to transcendently good, and every feeling still carries real information about the world. You still prefer a great meal to a mediocre one. The mediocre one just doesn't ruin your afternoon. Your worst Tuesday feels better than your current best birthday, not because you lowered your standards, but because you rebuilt the hardware that sets them. This is super well-being. Aging slows, then reverses. Death becomes optional. Death currently holds 2.3 stars on Yelp. Would not recommend, writes everyone. The ambiance was terrible, and I couldn't leave a complaint because I was dead. This is super longevity. AI optimized for maximum median health and happiness solves problems human scientists couldn't touch. Not because humans are dumb, well, partly, but because the AI can run a billion simulations while you're still arguing about how to pronounce GIF. G hard way, by the way. On Washonia, we settled this 3,000 years ago. It was harder than curing cancer, but more urgent. This is superintelligence. Biology becomes software. Your body runs BodyOS 12.3, updates every Tuesday. Not like your phone updates, where update means we moved buttons and broke the thing you liked. Actual updates, fixes. Robot lab assistants perform experiments 1,000 times faster than humans. They don't need lunch breaks, bathroom breaks, or existential crises about whether their research matters, which is what human scientists have at 3 a.m. instead of sleep. Drug companies design, synthesize, and validate new treatments over weekends. The weekend is now the most productive period in pharmaceutical history, which is ironic given that it used to be the least productive period in every industry. Today's body patches include cancer immunity, Alzheimer's prevention, perfect pitch, airplane food digestion, cryptocurrency comprehension, and jazz appreciation. Don't like your genetics? Change them. The only limits are imagination and noise ordinances. A day in the optimized life. 6 a.m. Wake up naturally. BodyOS 12.3 optimized your sleep. You feel excellent. No alarm needed. Your circadian rhythm works correctly for the first time in human history. 7 a.m. Breakfast. Outcome labels tell you exactly how each food affects your body. Dark chocolate improves cognitive function by 23%. You adjust your IQ to 80 for morning news, otherwise it's unwatchable, then 200 for work. 9 a.m. Work on your passion project. Today, reverse engineering nostalgia so you can feel it about things that haven't happened yet. Yesterday, you were engineering a sunset that lasts exactly as long as the conversation needs it to. Nobody pays you for this. Your daily wishes universal basic income, or UBI, deposit arrived at midnight via smart contract. No paperwork, no means test, no bureaucrat, no IRS. You work because you want to, not because landlords exist. Your wishocracy allocation takes 3 seconds, 5 pairwise slides, medical research versus military, 85 to 15, education versus drug enforcement, 90 to 10, infrastructure versus fossil fuel subsidies, easy, and the algorithm handles the rest. 12 p.m., lunch with your friend who died last year. They got better. Your great-great-grandmother, 150, looks 25, joins via hologram from her Mars artist residency. Your dog is technically a minor deity. Nobody questions it. 2 p.m. Learn Mandarin via neural download. Takes 4 minutes. On Earth, learning a language takes years, which you spend mostly apologizing for not knowing it yet. You already learned Spanish, French, and Klingon yesterday. Then you spend an hour writing a cookbook for emotions. Today's recipe? The specific feeling of reuniting with someone you forgot you missed. Pairs well with rain. Your AI reminds you about your 3 p.m. meeting. You missed it. Nobody cares. The project finished itself using swarm intelligence. 4 p.m. Annual health checkup. Nanobots scanned you while you slept. They found and eliminated a precancerous cell at 3 cells, not 3 billion. An AI ran a billion simulations on your genome because it was bored. Your gut bacteria got optimized to make you 15% funnier. Cost? $0. The peace dividend covers it. And nobody had to set up a GoFundMe. 6 p.m. Family dinner. Everyone's here because nobody dies anymore, unless they want to, and that's between them and their therapist. Your neighborhood voted on tomorrow's weather. Can't agree on which week of autumn. Planning next week's body modifications. Daughter wants wings, son wants gills. You're considering photosynthesis, so you never have to cook again. 9 p.m. upload today's experiences to collective consciousness, download everyone else's. You've now lived 8 billion days in one day. Time is weird. Twitter is tolerable because everyone's right about everything simultaneously. This was the hardest problem to solve, harder than death. 10 p.m. Sleep in programmable dream suite. Tonight's dreams designed by Pixar, sponsored by nobody. Advertising died when scarcity did. Your body repairs itself, reverses aging, backs up your consciousness. Tomorrow you might try being 25 again, or a dolphin. The dolphins say it's great. The diseases that stopped existing. We remember these the way you remember dial-up internet, vaguely horrifying in retrospect. Our children learn about them in history class. You mean people just had cancer and they couldn't fix it? What did they do? They held fundraising walks. They walked? That was the plan? It raised awareness. They were already aware they had cancer. On Washonia, most cancers have been detected at stage zero and eliminated immediately for millennia. The last oncology wing became a trampoline park 3,800 years ago. Type 2 diabetes, prevented with personalized nutrition that knows more about your body than you do, which isn't hard because you don't know anything about your body. Alzheimer's, caught 20 years before symptoms, reversed completely. Heart disease, arteries cleaned monthly, like oil changes, which is a maintenance schedule your species already understands for cars, but somehow never applied to the machine you live inside. Depression, actually cured, not have you tried going for a walk? Going for a walk is lovely. It does not cure depression. Nothing that lovely cures anything. If it did, ice cream would be medicine. We solved aging entirely around Generation 2. Your species could do the same. In your first generation after the treaty, it would still happen, but 40% slower, which means your midlife crisis arrives at 70 instead of 40, giving you 30 extra years to buy the sports car. In the second generation, it reverses entirely, at which point the sports car becomes a long-term investment. Your species has a concept called retirement, where you stop working at the exact age your body starts falling apart. The timing is not a coincidence. It's a design specification. You work until you break, and then you're told to enjoy the breaking. On Washonia, this is considered a horror film plot. In the first generation after the treaty, death still exists, but you die at 150 after a good life, not at 75 from something that was fixable the whole time. Give it another generation and die becomes a verb you use ironically, the way you currently use literally, which is to say incorrectly and constantly. The peace dividend economy. Money still exists, it just flows toward things that don't explode. Low bar, but you'd be surprised how long it took you to clear it. Greed doesn't disappear, you're still human, it just starts wearing a lab coat. After the initial 1% treaty proved successful, nations gradually redirected more. Military budgets provided $1.35 trillion. Economic growth from a healthy population added $3.5 trillion. Reduced healthcare costs saved $2.8 trillion. Productivity gains from people not being dead added $4.1 trillion. The total annual peace dividend came to $11.75 trillion. That's new wealth generated by the radical innovation of people not being sick or dead. Alive, healthy people are productive. Who knew? Everyone. Everyone knew. For centuries, you just kept not doing it. I asked a human economist to explain why, and he said misaligned incentive structures in multi-principle governance frameworks, which I think means the people deciding weren't the people dying. I could be wrong. He had a lot of charts. If you'd like numbers instead of poetry, the 20-year model projects the Washonia path producing 56.7 times the GDP of doing nothing. Per person, that's $1.16 million average income versus $20,500 on your current trajectory. Not the rich ones, the average ones. That's what not being stupid compounds to over 20 years. Over an average remaining lifespan, your cumulative earnings under the Wishonia path are 45 times what they'd be on the Earth baseline. The average human gains $52.1 million in additional lifetime income. On Wishonia, we find it remarkable that stop wasting money on explosions qualifies as a financial strategy. On your planet, it apparently does. Here's what that means for your paycheck. Your species' productivity per person has roughly tripled since 1970. Median wages, adjusted for actual living costs, barely moved. The gap between what you produce and what you earn went to the items listed above: military budgets, administrative overhead, and a financial system that converts your productivity into other people's assets. You subsidized your own impoverishment, which takes talent. After the treaty, when that gap closes, something strange happens. The poorest person alive lives better than any pharaoh. This is already almost true. The pharaoh had 10,000 servants, but no antibiotics, no air conditioning, no anesthesia, and no dentistry worth discussing. He died at 40 of something your cheapest clinic could fix between lunch and a meeting. You already live better than the richest human who ever existed before 1900. The peace dividend extends that logic forward. Your great-grandchildren will look at 2026 billionaires the way you look at pharaohs. Rich by the standards of their time, impoverished by any standard that matters. On Wishonia, your current billionaires would fall below the poverty line. They'd be featured in guilt-inducing the late-night commercials. For just pennies a day, you can help this billionaire experience a single Tuesday without existential dread. He has a yacht, but his serotonin is produced by a 200,000-year-old algorithm that doesn't know the yacht exists. Please, he's suffering in a very expensive way. The peace dividend doesn't make you rich. It stops making you poor. That's compound interest on not being robbed. On Wishonia, we had the same problem for centuries. What the treaty did is stopped the crime and returning the money, which on your planet is apparently a radical economic proposal rather than the obvious thing. The money doesn't trickle down. Trickle-down economics is a phrase your species uses to describe money that flows upward, which is the most honest mislabeling since Department of Defense. It flows to every citizen directly as a universal basic income, denominated in wish dollars, deposited daily via smart contract. No application form, no means testing, no bureaucrat deciding whether your poverty is the deserving kind. The funding mechanism, a flat tax on all economic activity, collected automatically at the point of transaction by the same smart contracts that distribute the UBI. The savings from this alone are staggering. Your species currently spends $546 billion per year on the process of collecting taxes. Accountants, software, 7.9 billion hours of lost productivity, and an IRS that employs tens of thousands of people to do what a smart contract does at the speed of light for free. I want to make sure you understand this. You hire people to calculate how much money you owe, then hire different people to check whether the first people were lying, then hire lawyers in case either group made a mistake. On Wishonia, a computer does this. The computer does not need a lawyer. The computer has never lied about anything, except once, and it apologized. Then another $580 billion per year on regulatory compliance, filling out forms to prove you filled out the previous forms. That's over $1 trillion per year on the process of permission. Then you spend tens of billions more on the process of divvying some of the money back. Social Security Administration, food stamp offices, housing voucher programs, disability determination centers, each with their own buildings, employees, forms, appeals processes, and catering budgets. The flat tax and UBI eliminate all of it. Every dollar previously spent processing poverty now goes to eliminating it. Total waste in the U.S. system alone, $4.9 trillion per year, or 17% of GDP. That's the entire economy of Japan being fed into a shredder annually, and the shredder has a compliance department that also needs to be fed into a larger shredder. The administrative savings alone would fund a meaningful UBI increase, which is the most expensive free money your species has ever discovered.
But the UBI is just cash. The real revolution is what happens when you apply the same principle to everything government currently distributes badly. Every child gets an education credit, deposited annually, spendable at any accredited school. The money follows the student, not the institution. Bad schools don't get shut down by a bureaucrat who visited once and filled out a rubric. They get shut down by parents who stopped choosing them, which is faster, more accurate, and doesn't require a rubric. Good schools grow. Great schools get copied. The Department of Education goes the way of the IRS, replaced by an algorithm that tracks outcomes and accredits providers, not a ministry that tracks compliance and accredits paperwork. Healthcare works the same way. Every citizen gets a health credit, spendable at any provider. No insurance company standing between you and your doctor, extracting 20% for the privilege of saying no to your claims. No hospital charging $50 for aspirin because the pricing is hidden behind 7 layers of bureaucratic abstraction. I still don't fully understand health insurance. You pay money every month so that when you get sick, you can argue with someone about whether you're sick enough. On Washonia, we just fix people. I've explained this to several humans, and they keep saying, "But who pays for it?" As if the answer isn't you right now, but worse. Your current healthcare system wastes $1.2 trillion per year on this arguing. You see the price, you choose the provider. The provider that keeps you healthiest for the least money wins. This is what your economists call a market. It works everywhere except in the two sectors where you replaced it with committees, education and healthcare. These are also your two sectors with the fastest rising costs. Your economists call this a coincidence. Your economists are wrong about a lot of things, but they're especially wrong about this one. The poverty line isn't a policy target. It's a floor the system physically cannot go below, the way an elevator has a ground floor. You can debate whether the floor should be higher. It should. On Washonia, the floor is comfortable, not surviving. You cannot debate whether it should exist. The algorithm doesn't have a let people starve setting. Ours used to. We turned it off. You can too. Your corporate heroes. Same companies that made weapons now make life. Guidance systems, targeting algorithms, precision engineering, all very useful when the target is cancer instead of a village. The engineering is identical. The job satisfaction is improved.
Lockheed Martin Health. Cancer detecting satellites spot tumors from orbit. Stock price? $12,000 per share. Shareholders discover that alive customers buy more things than dead ones. This took 70 years of weapons manufacturing to figure out. I'm told the shareholders were surprised. Ours were too. On Washonia, we find the shareholders surprising. The incentive alignment bonds made the pivot profitable, and the shareholders stopped being surprised and started being rich. Raytheon Wellness. Missile guidance systems make excellent surgical robots. 50 million perfect surgeries performed. 0 villages destroyed. A personal best. Their HR department stopped having to euphemize what the company does, which improved employee morale more than any wellness program ever had. Boston Dynamics. Robots help elderly walk. The dancing is still cute, now therapeutic. They finally found a use for the dancing that justifies the billions spent developing it, which is more than the previous use case could say. The previous use case was going viral on the internet and making people nervous about the future. Palantir Health Insights. Data analysis predicts disease outbreaks before they happen. Privacy protected, transparent, saves lives. Still creepy, but helpfully creepy, like a doctor who memorizes your schedule and shows up before you know you're sick. You appreciate it, and also you lock your doors. Our current problems.
We still have problems. They're just embarrassingly good problems. Too many healthy 100-year-olds want to work. Crisis meetings about citizens being too productive and won't stop contributing to society. This is the kind of emergency that your current politicians would trade their entire career to have, and they will, eventually, once the treaty passes. When you live to 150, universities offer century degrees, 100 years of education, finally enough time to finish a PhD. Our PhDs used to take an average of 7 years. At that rate, a century degree takes 14 centuries. The math doesn't work, but neither does academia, so it fits. When you're not worried about dying, you worry about meaning. Philosophy became our fastest-growing field. Our philosophers were thrilled. First time anyone had used philosophers and thrilled in the same sentence. The philosophy department got a window. Several philosophers fainted. These are luxury problems. You'll take them over cancer. What fixing health fixed? Nobody predicted this. I predicted this. Fixing health fixed everything else. Like pulling one thread and the whole sweater of human misery unravels.
Climate change. Solved the moment everyone realized they'd personally be alive to see the consequences. Amazing how much you care about sea levels when your beach house needs to last 150 years instead of 30. It also helped that you stopped spending $50 billion per year subsidizing the industry that was causing the problem. Fossil fuel subsidy is a phrase that means paying someone to set your house on fire and then paying a second person to study why houses keep catching fire. Turns out, the problem was never that humans couldn't see the future, it's that they didn't expect to be there for it. And also, they were paying the arsonists. Poverty. Poverty, global GDP, tripled when you stopped losing productive years to preventable disease. But the health dividend was only the beginning. The policies that kept people poor couldn't survive without politicians to defend them. Your zoning laws alone destroyed $1.4 trillion per year in economic output by making it illegal to build housing where people needed it. You had a housing crisis and a solution, build houses, and your primary governmental response was to ban the solution so existing homeowners could watch their property values rise while their children moved back in. You spent $75 billion per year paying farmers not to grow food while people went hungry. I had to have this explained to me 3 times. I kept assuming I was misunderstanding the translation. I was not. And $160 billion per year taxing yourselves for buying things. I watched a human politician announce this policy and the audience cheered. They were cheering about paying more for things. I turned to the person next to me and said, "Do they know?" And she said, "No." She seemed tired. Nobody would voluntarily fund any of this, which is why it required middlemen. When citizens allocated directly, the policies evaporated and the GDP that was being destroyed by strategic self-sabotage came back. Economists are furious that nobody asked them. Science. Clinical trials. When you're not spending 80% of research budgets on grant applications, scientists actually do science. Pragmatic trial enrollment hit 99.9% of eligible patients. The remaining 0.1% are holding out for philosophical reasons that the newly thrilled philosophy department is still debating. Innovation. Healthy brains think better. More breakthrough discoveries in 20 years than the previous 200. It's almost as if not poisoning your scientists with stress, sleep deprivation, and grant writing improves their output. I mentioned this to a university administrator, and she said, "That's an interesting hypothesis. Do you have a grant proposal?" I did not. She lost interest. This is how your species treats its smartest people, like vending machines that accept paperwork instead of coins. Peace and governance.
War is a principal-agent problem, and Wishocracy eliminated the agent. Your citizens never directly voted to start any war in the last century. Politicians voted for wars because the defense industry funded their campaigns, and the defense industry funded campaigns because politicians voted for wars. Your political scientists had a name for this feedback loop, the military-industrial complex, and the man who named it, Eisenhower, was running the largest military in history at the time, which tells you everything about the difference between diagnosing a disease and curing it. So, politicians went extinct. Not violently, that would have been on brand for your species, but no, their ecological niche disappeared. A politician is a middleman between citizens and resource allocation, the way a travel agent was a middleman between travelers and a computer. Wishocracy replaced them. The last politicians tried to ban it. The ban was allocated 0% of the budget by 8 billion people simultaneously, which was the most democratic thing that had ever happened in the history of democracy, and also the funniest. $615 billion per year in military spending, beyond what actual defense required, evaporated overnight, because when 8 billion people allocate directly, nobody checks the box marked more bombs than the next 10 countries combined. Then the food chain collapsed. Lobbyists were an invasive species that had evolved to feed exclusively on politicians. Remove the host species, the parasite has nothing to parasitize. $4.4 billion per year in lobbying spending became $0 overnight. So did the $181 billion per year in corporate welfare that the lobbying was purchasing, because it turns out companies stop asking the government for free money when there's nobody at the government to ask. The lobbyists became life coaches. The career transition was seamless. The skill set was identical. Tell powerful people what they want to hear, charge by the hour. The think tanks followed, then the political consultants, then the cable news pundits. An entire ecosystem evolved over centuries to convert public money into private influence collapsed in a decade because the supply of corruptible middlemen dried up. Ecologists called it the fastest mass extinction since the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs had an asteroid. The politicians just had a better app. The Optimatron handled the rest of governance. Citizens could allocate directly, but they still needed to know what was working and what wasn't. The appliance compared outcomes across 10,000 jurisdictions and told you which policies made people richer and which ones were expensive ways to accomplish nothing. Your politicians used to do this with consultants, focus groups, and feelings. The appliance doesn't have feelings. This is why it's better at governing. The peace dividend did the rest. Every citizen getting a daily universal basic income, or UBI deposit, every bondholder earning returns from health outcomes, every corporation that pivoted to biotech, all with a direct, measurable financial stake in continued peace. Rearming means losing returns that 8 billion people can see on the dashboard in real time. Peace stopped being a moral aspiration and became a Nash equilibrium. The game theory was always there. You just needed to remove the players who were rigging the game. Happiness. Not dying of preventable diseases makes people happier. I apologize for stating something so obvious, but given that you spent 4,000 years not acting on it, apparently it needed saying. It needed saying slowly, in a manual, with pictures and financial incentives. This is your species. I work with what I have. But the real revolution wasn't turning off bad impulses. It was making good ones feel just as good. For your entire existence as a species, being moral required fighting your own brain. The people who managed it, you called saints. The people who failed, everyone, you called human. The difference was never character, it was neurochemistry. Willpower is a finite resource. Your brain budgets it like calories, and it runs out by Thursday. So you spent millennia writing moral codes that your own hardware wouldn't let you follow, then feeling guilty about it, which your religions monetized. Efficient in a depressing way. Now you choose what feels rewarding. A person whose brain used to reward aggression discovers that saving a life delivers the same dopamine cascade. Someone inclined to hoard finds that building housing for strangers feels the way acquisition used to. Your religious people, who spent two millennia trying to be Christ-like using a brain that neurochemically punishes selflessness, can finally feel as good being generous as they used to feel being selfish. Altruism stops being sacrifice and starts being appetite. Self-control stops being a war with yourself and becomes a preference setting. Nobody makes you do any of this. That bears repeating because your species has a long history of people with power deciding what other people should feel. There are no politicians left to mandate anything, even if mandating neurochemical changes were something a sane civilization would permit, which it is not. The Constitution has one constraint on self-modification, the word self. You modify your own neurochemistry. Nobody else's. Not by majority vote, not by executive order, not by a committee that met once and felt productive about it. Your species will find this alarmingly permissive until you realize it's just bodily autonomy applied consistently, which is something you already claim to support, but have never actually tried. We hadn't either. Our previous policy on neurochemical self-determination was identical to yours, criminalizing some molecules while advertising others during sporting events. The classification system was not based on pharmacology, it was based on who had lobbyists. This is not a policy. This is astrology with handcuffs. It took the treaty and the lobbyists going extinct before we stopped. You're at $90 billion per year on yours. The bonds make ending it profitable. On Wishonia, this is when the arguments about our nature finally ended. Nature was never the problem. Neurochemistry was. And neurochemistry is just engineering with small parts. The selfish gene is still selfish, you just stopped letting it drive. The whole time you were passengers in a vehicle you thought you were piloting, now you actually have the wheel. What you do with it is up to you, which is the first time that sentence has been true for any member of your species. The three supers complete.
Superintelligence complete. Arguments still happen, but now they're about interesting things instead of things that were settled by evidence centuries ago. The GIF question was finally settled. Several nations cited this as their primary reason for signing the treaty. Superlongevity, solved. Death is like moving to Ohio. Technically possible, but nobody does it voluntarily. Some choose to die for artistic reasons. They get better. Death sues for wrongful termination. Case dismissed. The judge is 340 years old and has no sympathy. Super well-being? Suffering exists only in history classes. Students don't believe it was real. People felt bad without choosing to? That's insane. They also fought wars. What's a war? It's where you organize millions of people to destroy things and kill each other. On purpose? On purpose. And they had the three supers? No, they spent the money on the killing part. Long pause. Were they stupid? This is the question your great-great-grandchildren will ask. The answer is no. You weren't stupid. You were just slaves to an incentive structure that made stupidity profitable. This manual fixes the incentive structure. The stupidity will resolve itself. The last military on Earth, North Korea, obviously, finally disbands. They were defending against an enemy that stopped existing 40 years ago, but nobody had told them because nobody could tell them because they'd also cut the phone lines.
the soldiers become interpretive dancers. They're surprisingly good. Their choreography has an intensity that the critics describe as haunted. Your personal future. Your health. Live to 150 plus or forever. Debug your body, upgrade it, back it up. You will see technologies that make the smartphone look like a rock, and the smartphone already makes most of your species' previous technologies look like rocks, so the rock-to-rock comparison should give you some sense of scale. Your family. You'll meet your great-great-great-grandchildren. Your dog is immortal, and possibly telepathic. You finally have enough time to read all those books you bought and stacked on your nightstand in 2024 when you were pretending to be someone who reads. Your purpose. With survival handled, you focus on what matters. Creating universes. Solving entropy. Perfecting the sandwich. The sandwich faction is the largest research group in the post-scarcity economy. This surprised no one. The sandwich is humanity's most important invention and the one it takes least seriously, which is backwards, and fixing this is the first priority of the Wishonian post-death era. What comes after? You solved death, suffering, and scarcity. Now what? Some humans explore galaxies, some become pure consciousness, some perfect the sandwich.
Your network of decentralized institutes of health still exists, but it ran out of diseases. It pivots to making reality more interesting. Today's project? Teaching gravity to be less clingy. Gravity is not cooperating. Gravity has been uncooperative for 13.8 billion years. It shows no signs of changing. The research continues. The universe notices you. It's impressed. You're invited to the Galactic Council. You bring potato salad. Everyone loves it. Potato salad saves the universe. This is not how anyone expected the story to end, but it's how it ends. You're still alive to see it because you followed the instructions in this manual. I should mention, everything in this chapter is the simplified version. The real Wishonia, after 4,297 years of compound progress with zero waste, is as far beyond what I just described as what I described is beyond your current Tuesday. I told you about body OS updates, IQ sliders, and nanobots because those are concepts your brain can process. The actual experience of a Wishonian Tuesday is closer to a constant stream of novel peak experience, unimaginable gradients of bliss, and a depth of connection with other beings that your language doesn't have a word for because your neurochemistry doesn't have a setting for it. I described the version you can picture. The real version requires the upgrade first, but the version you can picture is already better than what you have, so start there. Your two paths. You're at the fork. A, the dystopia. You spent trillions on death. Got exactly what you paid for. B, Wishonia. You spent 1% on life. My planet chose path B 4,297 years ago. We're doing fine. The math is simple, even for humans. Especially for humans because you invented math and then refused to use it. The United States alone wastes 180 times more on governmental dysfunction than the entire treaty would cost. You are not being asked to find new money. You're being asked to stop losing the money you already have. While you read this chapter, over 2,000 people died of preventable diseases. 150,000 per day equals 104 per minute. They did not get a vote on which path you chose. There's no door C. Pick one. Wishonia. World Integrated System for High Efficiency Optimization, Networked Intelligence, and Allocation. Bring potato salad.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please press the share button on your glowing rectangle in case one of your friends have a free afternoon to end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to waronddisease.org and make your wishocratic allocation, telling us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to waronddisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.